Hey everybody. Give us just a second. We are trying to take care of technical difficulties and technical stuff. Okay. Are you guys, hi. This is another episode of Friends Talk with Cree and Duh. And yes, she is. She's in one of these cameras right here. And we also have a return of another special guest who's grubbing right now. tonight's topic is going to be on mental health, and a general guest that we are going to call in and our live feed with us in just a second. So give us a few moments so we can get that set up. Okay. Give us a moment here. We're trying to keep this, but we're doing
something. Well, just want to say hi to my friends on Facebook. Guys, we did, how many weeks ago?
About two weeks ago.
We had so much fun.
That's the worst option, guys. So we thought it would be nice to have back on our show.
Great.
So. Well, Chris Herford, Zyrus, and Miss Keith Watson, right
now. Oh, and for those tuning in with us, we have a number in Glenn. If you want to just put your questions on live, we'll answer your questions as we go. We have our calls and answers. Any questions that you would like for the topic that we're discussing tonight?
Okay, let's get started.
Guys, just read the videos on at once. You see, talking to one. Like knowing we're just back what we're just listen to the voices.
And eventually we're gonna have this set up where we only have to get one screen. So today's topic is on mental health. And I'm gonna go ahead and start this. I work in love over 10 years as a therapist. And now I'm working in more of the social work aspect of it, but I love a lot as far as mental health and illness, especially in our community, because you know, we talk about health in the community. You ask somebody talk about illness, they don't think that it's all easy. And so I just wanna, you know, just kinda eradicate the stigma of, you know, someone that has a mental illness acting crazy. Because from what I understand, what I was taught, what I did some crazy is doing more insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So people who have mental illness aren't necessarily crazy unless they're not getting help they need. There are some people that have been labeled as sick, and I would agree to that. Because just within it without bodies, you know, it is sick, you know, for a reason with mental health, mental illness will do the same, because once that as a sickness, you see that as all that person's just crazy. So I'm still waiting on our guest to come in and join our Facebook Live with us. And she gets on to do this topic. But the first question, and our guest who is supposed to be here, is okay.
I tell my father that we
okay. So the question that I will pose to our listeners is, what are some challenges for community in regards? What are the challenges for community regarding mental health? Dick, you want to give that? So the question is, what are some challenges for African Americans in this community in regards to mental health?
I mean, you have, you know, the thing I always say is poverty is a big put on. If you have the resources in your neighborhood, your family, and, you know, for black kids, even in the neighborhood, you see who's mom and dad is well-to-do, who has a and you see the little boy who has a little girl who always has a nice hairpiece or, you know, nice clothes. So it's hard, but I can tell people we start mental also with the things that we give our kids, you know, by telling them that, hey, you have Jordans, my baby has this. But you're starting to create that roller coaster that give for the long run. You know, I mean, I believe in all that. Santa Claus is real.
What you mean, Southern
Real?
Sounds
real. Repeat the same thing. Yeah, we'll just say Santa, repeat the same thing.
I'm Santa Claus. How about that? How about that? Santa Claus.
I feel like if I beat our kids these traditions and give them expectations of life that are not real, instead of being honest with them, we create mental health.
How so? What do you mean? Like,
because we got the kids what we didn't have, but therefore create unrealistic
okay.
in them, because they don't see the you to get out of that for them. Right. All they see the result.
Okay. Right. So mental illness is defined as something that distorts your mood, your behavior, and your thoughts. So, I mean, yeah, the elimination of your hand, you know, cells or something like that. Yeah, that's okay. Something that, you know, yeah, keep you in that pain when you're doing that. But it comes down to, also, it's down to, you know, in illness, you know, what y'all understand is that, you know, the cause of creates someone to have disease, coupled with its origin, be a number of this, not just one thing. And I thought people should milk her fat, you know, is real. Because I know when I was growing up, I have an uncle that is, he has a friend, and a lot of times I would hear, you know, even my mom say, ain't nothing wrong with him, you know, he knows who we are. But that's probably who he knows who we are. That's not what schizophrenia means. I mean, you don't hate this. It just means that reality is different from somebody else's. And then when it comes to depression, I think something that we talk about a lot enough to our podcast today, Yeah, it's sad. You know, it's fun for people to get sad for various reasons. Yeah, one of them, or loss of your finance. If we're in 2020, whatever, except with the government shutdown, a lot of people don't have money to pay their bills. Well, yeah, you're supposed to be sad. But then it goes beyond that. And it's the impression when it affects how you function throughout. You can't get up and go to work. You can't, you know, brush teeth or wash, you know, wash yourself up. That's like, oh, you know, it's because they want to do it. Don't get me wrong. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm not perfect. But this one, pray away. And I don't, for me, it ain't. You can't just do that. It's other things that you have to do. Next question to Brew or you guys out there is what impact does racism have on mental health, the mental health of Black African American young males?
Oh, well, I guess that's a two-part question. As a male, and it's gonna be a little strife. But the fact is, we already know it's there. Mm-hmm. We already know, experience it. We've seen our grandfather, uncles, our cousins. You know, we need every male to possibly use examples of it and not do things put ourselves in a situation. But the real issue when it comes to a double standard with females, meaning expecting us to have these things, knowing that we don't have the power to do those as he is the white art. And that causes the friend Black men when you say, like, I was looking at people telling a friend that Facebook use algorithms, your depression is going to help you later. So you have to watch what you post, what you suggest. But I look at this thing. Why is each black woman keep saying nigga ain't shit? And we see that as like, man, we get hurt because, like, man, that ain't up. But because of the fact you keep attracting shit niggas, you blaming all of us.
So, how would you explain immigration? And I'm getting old of, you know, the group that came up with him, you know, my 2-year-old daughter, you know, and I see a lot of violence, you know, going on this, you know, generic. And you know, I can't say I'm where they're from, but no, they are different. And I'm so biased. It's no problems or that, but it seems there's some young males are just stuck in this mind frame of, you know.
But you don't show black male success on television. But you don't show black on television. Who's a kid? Are no superheroes for black men. Okay? There are no people black drag a gun on basketball, football, music, rap, entertainment. What you got? Everybody's no roles are. Why we keep repetitively shooting for that?
Well, what is it you think that needs to happen to get through to not young, like sometimes black females, because they're great, you know, suicide, you know, that's happening and bullying and, you know, that, you know, a lot of that stuff leads to violence and, you know, we're losing our kids to, you know, violent crimes and incarceration. So,
but unity, like used to have. You know, when I was a kid, I remember I could go to an old man's house, have him chop wood, and he'd give me, you know, 50 cents, I can go get me a Snicker bar, and I'd share it with my buddies. I remember before you had internet, that 1, 2, 3 of lights light up, you know, the synchronized pattern. Back in the day, your mama called you, you better be home before that last light up.
Right.
We had a structure. Lights. And what we've done is we've scared each other so much that we can't even talk to each other. We're racist against our own people. Women are when I say racist against our own people, meaning we're scared of each other. And instead of having these conversations, instead of opening up and saying, hey, why are we scared? You know, well, sisters feeling like you can't protect them. Well, brothers feeling like our egos are not protected when we're in front of white people. Going back to what we were saying, what does racism have to do with how it affects our mental illness? You know, when you come out the womb having to fight 24/7, not only regular life, but then some other object of something you didn't create, which is racism. You know what I'm saying? Black people are on trial every day. So that creates a mental disease because now we're living from, what's the guy who created the Willie Lynch era. The Willie Lynch era works. He showed it. And the problem is we're still going by, oh, let's go to church and pray to Jesus. No, let's talk about it and get it fixed. You know what I'm saying? Enough praying. We done prayed for 400 years. It ain't nothing changed. Okay? We done kept on praying. Let's get together, get our money together, buy land, and take care of us. Because I look at people and they say segregation. Segregation wasn't bad because it allowed us to work from us, to get from ourselves. We are depressed because we have nothing to offer the world other than rap, entertainment. And we are so worth so much more than that.
Well, is it that, before I go on to the next question, we have a caller on the line. Caller, can you tell us who you are, or if you like to, tell us who you are?
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Tanisha. How
yes!
are you all doing?
We're good.
Yes, this is Tanisha, you guys. Tanisha, you can tell the world. Tell us your background, what you do, and a little bit about you.
Okay. My name is Tanisha Smith. I have been working in the field of mental health since 2002. Working with individuals with serious mental illness, those who suffer from substance abuse issues, mm-hmm. children with behavioral issues, the whole gamut, you name it, I've done it. Other than geriatrics, it's on the population I don't have much experience with. Mm-hmm. So mental health is something I'm extremely passionate about, mm-hmm. especially mental health of minorities, mm-hmm. because it goes ignored a lot of times in especially the Black household. Mm-hmm. So I'm just glad to be having this conversation with you, you all tonight.
Thank you. I want to catch you up on the questions that we had posed earlier. And just a little bit more, if you don't mind, Tanisha. Tanisha is also a counselor up at A&M, Alabama A&M. Woo woo, Bulldogs. and she works specifically with, you know, our young adults. And so I was asking, what are some challenges that you see or that you have seen that our African American youth are facing in regards to mental health?
I will have to give this generation of young adults, teens, 18 and over, their props. They are more receptive to the ideal of counseling than we were, per se, mm-hmm. at their age. Mm-hmm. I think there is more awareness. They have, of course, more outlets that they can turn to with social media, with mm-hmm. just the internet, so they have a whole lot more exposure of what mental health actually is and what mm-hmm. it means. Mm-hmm. So, not to say that they have overcome the taboo barrier within the Black community of what goes on in this house stays in this house.
Right.
So, a lot of them, once they get to college, this is their first opportunity to even sit down and converse with a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So we see our numbers increasing every single day. Mm-hmm. It can be things as simple as them not being able to navigate their feelings after a breakup,
mm-hmm.
all the way to recovering sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, it may be their first experience, and some of them have experienced molestation as children, and mm-hmm. they suppress those thoughts and feelings for years. So it's deeper than what we think.
Yeah.
It goes on in their minds.
Yeah.
And not to mention just the whole adjustment of having to leave home to pursue higher education. You have to learn how to coexist with the roommate that you may or may not know. So it's a lot of things that goes on in that not quite adult brain. Mm-hmm. We like to try to kind of consider them adults, but we already know research says the brain can still act in an adolescent state up until age 25.
And sometimes beyond.
That's what I was about to say. I don't really want to believe what the average say, because the average line, I've seen 50-year-olds with kids.
Still ain't this long.
So how would you, and I pose this to, you know, everybody, especially our guest speaker, what would you say is the one of the things that you hear most about our young Black men? Because there's a lot of violence that's going on, even, you know, here recently with the IHOP situation. I don't know all of the details, of course not, but all I see all the time, well, what the media is showing is, you know, a lot of our, you know, young Black males that, you know, they portray as, you know, doing stuff without thinking, and, you know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, I don't know. But what would you say is the impact that this violence that the violence is having on our young men?
Okay, absolutely. I would say during the years of 2013, 2015, I was blessed to work in a local middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And with some of the most phenomenal children. And I am, unlike a lot of females, you know, females are always, oh, let's go do things for little girls. Let's go start groups and empower young women. All of those things are great. But we cannot forget the population that is dwindling by the day, mm-hmm. and that's the young black men.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it is, when I was able to connect with a lot of them, and I still, a lot of them still keep in contact with me via social media,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like that self-fulfilling prophecy that you see in their preteen that manifests when they become young adult men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the structure of the home. I'm not saying a single mother cannot raise a young black man. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I'm a single mother, mm-hmm. raising a young black man. Mm-hmm. Christian, you've done a phenomenal job.
Well,
I know firsthand raising your son.
I have to.
But when there's not a male present, we have to go back to that village concept of them being exposed to young, older men that have their stuff together. Because if not, guess who's out there waiting for them?
You got that
now,
right.
The OGs. Well, I'm not even talking about OGs, but the OG wouldn't want you out there making the same mistakes that they made.
Right. So can I interject? Can I interject real quick? Can I interject? Now, coming from a black man who has his own business doing his own thing, we would like to be that. But I was just telling a friend the other day, it is hard to reach women who have the facade or the ideal of I'm independent, so you can't tell me anything. And when you get around their kids and you're trying to discipline their kids in a way that they're not used to, then they have an attitude, and it creates an enmity between the kids and you. And not only that, you have a disdain for her now because you're like, hey, I'm sorry, I don't do it this way, and I'm not going to always do it your way. So it creates a problem with allowing us to rear black boys when a black woman coddles that black boy and says, you're my baby, ain't nobody going to touch you but me.
Mm. Mm. You're preaching.
Yeah.
I can't even argue with you on that. You are correct. I have seen, it's funny that you said that. I was in a store earlier. It was an older gentleman behind me, and we were just throwing life with a young female cashier that's a college student. And, you know, we were just telling her how we were of her, of going to school, trying to work. Because I even said, we have a whole generation of enablers.
Mm-hmm.
We can't blame the kids because we're going to enable the kids. What do we expect?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, you know, do what it is that we promote. So you're right. I don't fit in structured secondary or elementary education because of that reason. I'm very unorthodox. I wish I would be with somebody else's kids all day long and not tell them what's right from wrong.
Right.
I have a standard for my own too.
Right.
So I can't spend 8 hours pouring into other people's kids for them to get upset because I'm trying to you know, lead them down the right path. So, Derek, you are absolutely correct. We have to stop this foolishness because I have been an unmarried single mother for 15 years. And let me just tell you, a woman keeps it real with themselves. And ain't nothing cute about being this, all this hoopla they put out on the media.
No,
right.
No.
I wish I had a cover.
Look.
I wish. So, until we're real with ourselves and get back to the structure of what a family is supposed to be,
man, amen.
Then I think we lose. I really do. And yeah, I'm not saying, I don't want to even get my words misconstrued. I would never advocate a couple stay together just
for kids.
Just for the kids.
No,
because that messes them up. That messes them up.
I'm not advocating that. So I want to make that crystal clear.
Because you can be two perfect parts of the circle without being together.
Amongst right. adults that can't coexist under one roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the children are exposed to things that will be detrimental in their future.
Yeah.
But we have to get back to the village concept of, like what Derek said, you allow people to child. Mm-hmm. You know, we just have, once discipline was taken out of school, we see, once prayer was taken out of school, we see what we have now.
Right.
We have a generation of kids, but no, you can't put your hands on them, you can't tell them nothing. Teachers are living in fear.
And the kids running the schools.
And right.
And kids are not scared to have their parents called, you know, because they're parents that are on their kid's side, no matter how wrong they are. You know, it's
exactly.
there's no boundaries there. I remember growing up being told, and you guys probably heard this too, to respect your elders. Mm-hmm. It was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And it wasn't a, you know, I have some white friends that, you know, they question what, you know, me saying yes, ma'am, you can just call me my, well, that to me, that was a form of respect. That's how I respect you. But at the same time, you know, that's not, it to me doesn't seem to be, you know, taught. That's not being taught in this generation. You have some kids, don't get me wrong, I know a lot of kids that are super respectful, and I think I want to think that their, you know, parents and grandparents and great grandparents had a lot to do with that. But I've also seen kids that, you know, they talk to their great grandparents as if they were somebody out on the streets. And
absolutely.
And it's heartbreaking. It's very heartbreaking.
Right. The respect factor has definitely become a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. And until we can bring that back to the forefront, we will continue to do what I say every single day, is a quote that I learned while I was a substance abuse therapist. Insanity is doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results.
Absolutely.
We need to have insanity. So the problem is so huge now. But if we as a people learn to come together, because I don't know, and I can't relate to this whole crabs in a bucket mentality, because
right.
I've always been the type of person, I want to see everybody win.
Right.
I want to see, you know, I'm not, if you go further in your education than I do, kudos to you.
Right.
Family, if you are blessed with a newer home, God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, I don't know, it's like we still live in a very closed-minded slavery mentality of...
Can I say this?
I wish you well, as long as you're not doing better than I am.
Can right. I say this? That we label each other, or we define each other's respect based on how much money we bring in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing my dad taught me, my dad was a blue-collar worker that made really good money. I don't know if you all remember back in the 80s, in the 90s, Huntsville was driven by plants. You know, so he wanted to go out until he was able, so when the door was closed, he was able to retire. I have always, and Lucretia can validate this, wherever I go, I'm probably going to be better friends with the janitor than I am the therapist.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, we do have this socioeconomic type bullying that goes on. As you all will see on all your timelines, with this government shutdown, all I've seen up and down my timelines is this whole food stamp. People bashing
folks. Right. I have a really funny story right. about that before we go into a break. I was going into, what is that store off of Blue Springs where you get five meats for $20?
On Blue Springs.
Yeah, it's on Blue Springs. So you know what I'm talking about?
Save a lot.
Yeah,
that's
Pulaski. Okay, so I was in the store. I was coming from church. I went to go get me some meat. And this lady, it was empty in there. So this lady walked up to me. She said, all the people with their debit card, their EBT cards are taking all the meat. Well, you know, if I had the luxury of having one, I'd probably
I would be
one
in that
of them.
Too.
I said, I don't blame. Exactly. I said, I ain't mad at them. I said, they got to live where they live. So you're right. Exactly. It is affecting us, you know, not only in our pockets, but mentally as well. So we're going to take a short break. because we have to, Tanisha, you stay on the line. We have to get some technical things together first. And we will be right back, you guys, with the second half of tonight's show. So give us a moment. We'll be right back. Hit your finish.